For somebody who is ambitious, for somebody who is growth oriented, how do you stay happy in the moment while you are working toward the part of never being satisfied, of like, I'm going to continue to grow? But there's joy to be found in that, just like what you said. How do I learn to exercise that? You are living in a moment that is really cool awareness, you know? Because so often I think, and you'll probably in a couple of years look back on this and you'll be like, oh my God, that was magic. That was absolute magic.
Welcome to Femme Forte, a podcast where we celebrate women in music and performing arts. I'm your host, Amanda DeVries. Hello, Femme Forte fam, and welcome back to another episode. I'm so excited to share with you all that we have entered a new era of Femme Forte. As you may know, our intro has slightly changed from last season. Femme Forte is now a podcast that is more than celebrating band directors and musicians. We welcome all women in the arts. Today's special guest utilizes her theater background in her entrepreneurship journey. Ellie Morrison is an award-winning editor and content creator from San Antonio. Her digital editorial platform, Eleonora, was voted Magazine of the Year at the 2019 Texas Fashion Industry Awards. In 2020, Eleonora grew to offer brand, editorial, and content production services. With a portfolio of creative projects between San Antonio and Los Angeles and clients that have ranged from small businesses and nonprofit organizations to corporations, publications, productions, celebrity-founded companies, and more. Ellie currently helps marketing executives elevate their storytelling platforms through strategic creative direction and editorial content production. Beyond Eleonora, Ellie remains a content and community creator on her own platforms, engaging and entertaining audiences as a writer, producer, podcast host, and speaker. We talk about utilizing our passion for the arts in non-traditional ways and the journey of growth. This episode is truly for everyone. I could not be more excited to share this special episode with you. Hope you all enjoy.
Yep.
Literally, like, do you also do this where like I have to double check? I had a guest one time and I swear to you, I forgot to hit record. Worst. Yeah, it was pretty bad. Well, luckily, I noticed it only 10 minutes into the conversation and they were totally cool with it. They're like, hey, it's OK, because like I was also like fairly new at it.
It's the most terrifying thing ever.
Yeah.
I did like a series of Instagram lives during the pandemic.
Yeah.
And you can't not record on that. Like you have to be recording. And I still, my entire interview was like, is everything recording? Is everything fine? It's just, I have a really hard time like being on the camera.
Mm-hmm.
Don't have any nerves. Doing anything technical makes me beyond nervous. Like
really?
Anything behind the scenes, anything with equipment. I just don't have a natural knack for that.
Uh-huh.
I remember when I was an intern on the local TV show in San Antonio when I was in college.
Yeah.
My first job was to run the teleprompter for the anchor.
Mm-hmm.
I was shaking, like absolutely just shaking. And if they had told me, hey, can you pop on camera, like live television to the whole city? I would have been like, fine, easy. Running the teleprompter, I was so nervous that I couldn't even handle it because her performance, quote unquote, was relying on my like lack of knowledge of how to turn this knob. It was so scary. Anyway, I admire what you're doing.
Oh, thank you. And it's so funny. It's so funny you say that because I'm the complete opposite. I've spent so much time behind the camera and like doing all the technical stuff. So a lot of time when it's just like second nature to me where I like set something up and like even like this slider right here, like I've only set it up a couple of times, but like I'm pretty attuned to like setting up new equipment and knowing how the basics of most things work. But it has taken me a long time, especially for this podcast. Like I think take the cameras away, I think I'd be somewhat a little bit more comfortable. But I just have not been used to being in front of the camera a lot. And so that is something that I've definitely had to get used to. And luckily I've, done this about almost 20 times now.
Yeah.
To like get better at it. And I actually used to like have my own YouTube channel where I'd be like, hey guys, welcome back to my channel. Today we're going to be, it was like about camera nerd stuff. So I'm like, today I'm going to be reviewing this camera and why you should use it like as your next YouTuber camera. Like
it was
a very short lived channel because I was also a full time college student, did a bunch of interns at the time. So I only did I think 5 or 6 videos, and then I just didn't have time for it because I was studying and working. But even that alone was a little bit of practice into being more comfortable in front of the camera.
Of course.
And then That helped, but then I took a long break, and then the moment I decide, like, yeah, actually, I do want to be back in front of the camera again, or not want to, but, like, learn to, like, be more comfortable. Yeah, that's just been, like, a really interesting thing that I've learned, and I think even now that, like, the second season isn't even out yet, I can already hear when I'm editing, like, how much better of a speaker I've become, how much more confident, because I think in the first season, I think I did pretty well, but I could definitely tell I was nervous, and how I talk, like, you know, outside of this, or like talk like on the streets or whatever, is still very different. And so I'm just trying to bring a little bit more of my authentic personality, yeah, as you will, in the front of the camera, because I've definitely been that person where when I'm in front of the camera, I just immediately become shy.
Yeah, it's a skill. It takes work. But you're doing a great job. And I tend to be the opposite. I had to learn how to stop overdoing, yeah, on camera, because I grew up in the performing arts and on stage. And so it's natural for me to be very big with my gestures and my energy. And so I find that I've worked over the years to become a little bit more, authentic, but in my normal day-to-day. You know, in that energy being on camera, because it definitely, at first in the early years, like in my early 20s, when I would do anything on camera, I'd be like, you know, my eyebrows have like a life of their own, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, I enjoy it. But I'm super excited to be here. This is a very legitimate operation you have going on.
Thank you. Like I said, a lot of hard work has been put into this, and it definitely has evolved, like, since February of this year. And I'm so excited that now that this first season has officially been out, like, I was so scared as to how people were going to react. I was like, I don't know if people are going to like it. I don't know. You know, this is like my idea. And I was like, I'm the face of it. So that adds a whole nother thing, because not only are you representing your project, but now because you're the face of your project, that's a whole nother element into that. And so the fact that, like, you even reaching out to me, and when I go to conferences and seeing everybody and people coming up to me to say, like, hey, like, I listen to your podcast and I think what you're doing is amazing. Like, I never even expected that outcome. And it's just been so cool. Not only does something I have put so much love and care into, do people also care about? But it's just like validation, because, like, this is my baby. This is like everything that I've worked hard for. And so when people also validate that and also see the hard work that I'm putting in and appreciate that, I mean, it's truly amazing.
It's cool. I can relate in a different medium, but it's a big emotional undertaking to, yeah, launch something creative of your own and entrepreneurial of your own. So I commend you for it. And I know that it's going to go far.
Yeah, thank you. I really hope it does. I just came back from this podcast conference in Denver, and it was just so inspiring and also just really eye-opening to a bunch of stuff that, like, I have to learn with, and I've, you know, got to meet people that were like 15 years in the business. And I'm like, well, my podcast just started in June, or just came out in June. But it was awesome. Like, there are people now I have met that I could rely on as mentors, and now even see, like, what am I trying to say? There are people that I met who I can rely on as mentors, but also people I could reach out to if I have questions about anything, and or people who also want to support my podcast because they're like, no, what you're doing is cool. And, like, the fact you only, you know, it's only been out for a couple of months and you're already making headway, like, that's super, super cool.
It's awesome.
Yeah. Well, with that being said, I know I'd never fully, truly introduce this, but hello, everybody. Welcome back to Femme Forte. This is the beginning of a new era, and I'm really excited. Today I have Ellie Morrison on, and I just want to say thank you so much for being on the show. Ellie is actually someone who actually, like, DM'd me on Instagram and was like, oh my gosh, what I think what you're doing is amazing, and I wish I could be a part of it in some way. And to me, like, it was truly amazing and truly meant a lot that you even reached out to begin with. And I was like, yeah, let's find a way to get you on the show. And now having, you know, getting that set up, like, I just admire you as a person, as a whole. And I have so many questions to ask you.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I'm thrilled to be here. And I'm ready for your questions.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm ready. I'm an open book. So, yeah, I can't wait. I can't wait to. And also, I'm honored, I should say, to be helping you kind of start this new era for Femme Forte and, you know, expanding into fields, women who are in fields other than band directing, creatively in general. I think it's such great material that you're talking about, and the importance of women having conversations about balancing life, career, family, just, you know, striving for greatness and whatever that means to them. It's important. It's important that we have these conversations, and no amount of media is too much, I think, to be sharing everybody's perspectives. So I'm really excited to be here.
Yeah. Thank you so much for your heartfelt words. It really does mean a lot to me. I know who you are. But go ahead and tell our listeners and our viewers a little bit about who you are, where you're from, and a little bit about your background in the arts as a whole.
So I grew up, born and raised in San Antonio. I grew up regrettably not playing an instrument. That's my one big regret. I had, you know, a stint very brief on like piano lessons or violin lessons, but really my thing was dance. I was very into dance from a very young age, and theater, and I sang as well. So a very enriched upbringing in the performing arts. And I can't imagine, I would not be the person that I am today at all without that exposure and those experiences.
Yeah. I always make a joke, and I don't know if you know this about me, but if it wasn't for band, I would totally be a theater kid.
I love that.
So I recently went on a trip to New York in June, and it was my first solo trip, first time ever in New York, because my dad raised me on musical theater. So I used to go to a private school, and I think it was like a 45-minute drive to school every day. During the commutes to work, and like when he would pick me up from school, we would listen to musical theater soundtracks all day. And like, it, you know, we would, I would go in his like glove compartment, see what CDs he had, and to just like literally play the soundtracks like in order, like nonstop. And then when we were done with one, I was like, okay, on to the next.
Oh my God, I love that.
And so I literally grew up like just loving musical theater. He got me tickets. I believe the first show I ever saw was The Lion King on tour.
Oh, that's epic.
And I think when I was a lot younger, this is like the one kind of like regret I have was, I don't think he even knows this to this day, but when I originally saw that he gave me Lion King tickets, I don't think the connection like in my brain matched the two together, but I wasn't all that thrilled when I got tickets, because I was just like, oh, The Lion King, like I've only seen the animated version. And at the time I wasn't a huge fan of like animated movies, animated shows. And so I was like slightly confused. But then when we went to the Majestic Theater in San Antonio, and saw it, and then I was just completely taken aback and completely amazed. And that was really the point where I was like, oh my gosh, I love live theater. I want to do this again. And so we saw Wicked on tour and like In the Heights, and it was really, really fun. And so, but all my friends had, you know, told me about trips about them actually seeing a Broadway show like on, like in New York, and
it hits different.
Right. And so it wasn't until this past June when I was like, I'm going to do this for myself. I've been saying I've been wanting to go to New York, and a lot of it was like I was waiting on friends to go with people or waiting on family. It just never worked out. I was like, no, I'm just going to go by myself. I'm going to enjoy my time, and I'm going to do this because I've been saying I've been wanting to make a trip for the last couple years. And so I did. It was wonderful. Not only was taking a solo trip wonderful because I didn't have to rely or wait on anybody, it's like I was in charge of what I had to do that day, but also I like bought tickets for every possible like slot that a show is going on. So I flew in Tuesday, I believe did like the Tuesday night, and then I think it was like when the two on Wednesday was like a Wednesday matinee, Thursday, and then Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, and then I flew back Saturday morning. And so I like packed them all in, but it was so cool and amazing, and the community there was awesome. And yeah, like the other side of me, yes, I've been doing band and music my whole life, but I really do love like live theater, and specifically musical theater. I go to plays sometimes too, but yeah, it was, that experience was truly amazing. And that's like the second life, I guess, that you could say I have.
Well, me too, to be honest, because I'm not on Broadway. But I think when we talk about live performance and what growing up in the arts does for somebody, or at least did for me, that kind of has carried into my career, is that there is an energetic exchange that happens in the arts. And for me, you know, it can happen just being as an observer, even in the marching band activity for the past 12 years. For those of you who do not know, excuse me, my husband is Dan Morrison, who was the band director at Reagan High School for a lot of years. He and I started dating, I would say, like in 2011. And so I had been around it for a long time. And one of the things that always struck me about the marching arts was that I felt that same thing in my soul was tapped, as it is when I'm at a Broadway show or whatever. It's just that energetic exchange, and knowing that whoever's in front of you performing on the field is giving like 110%, 100% of the time while their show is happening, that always inspired me. And I could feel that energy in a marching band competition. And just the fact that these were high school kids was beyond incredible, what you can motivate them to accomplish as a group. So, you know, I think bringing that around to like finishing explaining my background, I used my background in the performing arts to, I mean, I'm an editor, basically. I've done work in marketing, I've done content creation. And when I first started out in my career, I was working for nonprofit organizations pretty much in San Antonio, because this was 2011 and digital media was just starting. Yeah. And so my aspirations were always, I knew that I felt very comfortable on stage, most comfortable on stage and most comfortable in a setting like this. But there weren't many outlets to do that, unless you were traditionally, you became a news anchor or news personality, or you, you know, were on stage. And neither of those paths at the time, although I tried my hand at them in various ways, felt authentic to me. And so I did what the next best thing was to do, and my student loan payments were starting. So I just got the first job that I could get, and it was in a nonprofit organization downtown San Antonio, now called Centro. And I was working with I was doing a lot of work with young professionals, because at the time San Antonio was really into their effort of promoting not only working downtown, but also living and playing downtown.
Yeah.
And so I remember feeling very conflicted at the time, because I felt like I couldn't wrap all the things I liked into what I was doing. And it took me about 5 or 6 years until I stepped out on my own and focused on purely creating. And I was lucky, because, you know, I was able to do that without worrying about income at the time, because Dan was very supportive, and he said, you know, look, take your time to build your own thing and don't worry about this. And he was teaching, you know, at Reagan, but we figured out how to make it work. And so I just put everything that I had into creating a platform that felt most authentic to me and my interests and my passions, because I didn't see that anywhere else. Yeah. And I couldn't find a place to plug in. So I just figured out how to build a website and created it, and essentially took that story, that interest and passion for storytelling, and put it into the digital platform that I was making. And I was at the time very inspired by women and how women were building their careers and how they were building lives that they loved. And so I just chased women's stories. And that then evolved. It was my blog originally. That then evolved into, we called it a little bit more of, we formalized it and called it a digital magazine, because this was 2017 when we were trying to, you know, get drum up excitement about it in the San Antonio area. And we felt that I had a partner come on at the time, and we felt that this, who we were talking to, didn't quite understand, like they couldn't quite grasp the, it's just a content platform, you know, but now it's very different. But back then we had to, you know, kind of give it a formal vehicle to explain that we want to tell stories of women, we want to publish stories of women. And my theatrical background came into play because I was very inspired by women from history who pioneered sort of their own field. And I would go down these rabbit holes and I would research their lives. And then I would figure out what woman in San Antonio could portray that story. And so then I used my interest in kind of design and fashion and all of that, and would design the sets. I would borrow pieces of furniture from the antique store on Hildebrand that I love. It's basically an antique barn. And I would go in and be like, okay, can you please, to the owner, I just need to borrow like these 12 pieces of furniture for the next 24 hours. And we would just set up a set, basically. And so I think, you know, that was noticed, and we did win Magazine of the Year. And the magazine is named Eleonora because that is my full name. It's my real name. But I was inspired to use that because I am named after my great grandmother. And so there was a through line of, you know, legacy and multiple generations, and how women from the past sort of have pioneered us to be able to create the future. And that was the inspiration behind it all. And it won Magazine of the Year in 2019 in San Antonio. And that sort of then led me to, you know, the pandemic happened in 2020. So I ended up pivoting to consult for brands that needed content creation support. And I also went to work in marketing for Texas Partners Bank, which, if you're familiar with kind of banks in the San Antonio and Austin area, it's Bank of San Antonio, the Bank of Austin, those are all members of that organization. I just found myself going from, you know, one thing to another that I never would have planned, but it was that original kind of what was in my soul from a background in the arts, and just not settling for something that didn't feel authentic to me, and creating my own outlet and then just kind of going for it. So I resonate really deeply with what you're doing, because I see a lot of parallels in that. And I think, especially as women, we have to create what we want to see and who we want to be. And these projects, these passion projects, I think whether or not they end up being a forever vehicle or not, they're such an important exercise in finding your voice, finding who you are, and then being able to remain true to that if you step back into a more structured setting. So that's a very roundabout intro, I would say. But yeah, that's a little bit about my career background.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree with you in the sense that the whole reason why I wanted to, you know, have you on the show is not only to like give you the spotlight and pass you the mic and give you this voice, but it's we share a lot of similarities that I also resonate with. I mean, going back to, you know, you having a theater background, performing arts background, I think one of the things that like I'm very like envious of is the fact that you, with like Eleonora, you have like a YouTube channel where you like interview other guests, and then you've been on you know, previous podcasts, and like the things that I've heard is like you're so confident in yourself and like seem very comfortable in these very different forms of media. And I think a lot of that, you know, obviously yes, you're showing your authentic self, but I've even learned from when I was doing a short contract with SeaWorld how much theatrics and, you know, performing other than just playing an instrument is important. I mean, we see that with drum corps, we see that with indoor and all that. But I think because you have that background in performing, it helps you in so many different things like public speaking and all the different things that you've done with your platform. And that is something that I'm just starting to learn how to do, which has like been like super amazing. But also like on the growth part that you mentioned, yeah, like if you asked me even a year ago when I got the job that I have now, if this would have happened out of it, I would have laughed in your face and been like, haha, that's so funny.
That's right.
But it's been really this really incredible and amazing journey, being able to like look back and see the growth that I've made, not only as like a podcaster and like a media professional, but also like as a human. Like there's been a couple of personal things that I've had happen and events that have happened in my life that literally like I'll talk to my parents or even my therapist and I really do take a step back and I'm like, wow, I've come such a long way in like different facets of life.
And it's only just the beginning.
Exactly. And That's something I say a lot on this show is like, it's only the beginning. Yeah. And it's just so cool sometimes because, you know, a lot of times I'll get stuck in the moment and stuck doing whatever I have to do, but really taking the time and just seeing that journey of growth, is just like so wild to me. And so, like you said, like finding your voice and finding like your purpose, and then that purpose being turned into awesome, impactful projects like this. And then who knows, maybe like Femme Forte is the stepping stone to something, another amazing and awesome thing in the future.
Absolutely. That is great perspective to have. That's so cool to hear you say that. I do. I think, it will be the stepping stone regardless. It might be your own thing or it might be something totally different.
Yeah.
You never know what you're building when you're building it. I think you just have to follow that fire, you know, that fire in your stomach that says like, get up and do this. And we don't always know why, or most of the time we don't know why.
Yeah.
And I also find too, one of the things I really like to talk about is growth is messy. And as somebody who has always been, well, considered myself ambitious and considered myself eager to grow, one of the things I never was told or that I had to figure out myself is that it's not a clean process. It's not a clean cut process. And I like things to be very clean cut on a to-do list per se. In life, like during my day, I'm not one of those people who's like super structured, but I find comfort in knowing like, okay, this box, check it. You have accomplished. And I think when growing, there have been throughout these chapters, like you're doing multiple things at once. If you're stretching from one place to the next, you might be working on two or three projects at the same time. And how do you compartmentalize that? And how do you give yourself permission to outwardly accept this growth? Because I think it doesn't always look packaged, you know, like while you're going through it. It's not the easiest thing because if we are so used to, I think especially as women, portraying certain strength and portraying certain calculated moves in our careers and in our lives. And I think obviously this is the age of Instagram probably didn't help with this, but it's something that I struggle with a lot is like, okay, well, I just took this full-time job with the bank to be on the marketing team, but I also still have my website and I still share this sometimes. And then I'm also working on like helping to produce, you know, film and TV stuff, or I'm helping other people launch their brands. And it feels messy, you know, at the time, like, how do I portray that as my own personal brand? What do I say? What do I do? And so I think it's like, there is an element of that in the more real conversations that I have with women who, you know, just about this in general, because I'm pretty, I like to bring it up because I think that we don't talk about this enough. And what I find is that a lot of friends of mine or acquaintances have said, like, you just seem so fearless. I'm like, no, I have fear. I have fear every day. But what I don't necessarily have fear of anymore, what I had to really work to shed, was the fear of what I looked like to other people. And I think that's what it is a lot in when you're choosing to grow, is that like if you're not following a very prescriptive path in life, it isn't charted. And so that can be messy when you're taking your own steps forward. You might take like somehow you grow multiple legs, and I don't know how you take four steps to the side while you're also taking a step forward, but like that's sometimes what it takes, you know? I think that has been something major that I've learned even since starting my own platform, was that I thought it was going to be like, oh, this was going to lead to this. And then I was going to grow like this. And then this was going to happen. And it wasn't that way at all. And now I'm at the point where I'm starting to feel this. I've my son now, you know, we've started our family. My son is now almost one. He turns one in October, which is like wild. This past year has been like a total blur. But I'm starting to feel something so different about like my next chapter and what that looks like and what growth feels like and looks like to me in this chapter. I'm working toward figuring out what that looks like and formulating a plan of, you know, how can I utilize the experiences and the skill sets of creating and plug back into a vehicle that already exists, you know, and how can I grow as a leader in that regard? Because I think there is something that when you are an artist or when you're a creative person, there can be an isolating element to the work that you do. Because like, look at you. I mean, you are grinding away, editing, recording, you know, this is not glamorous. Like this part is fun and glamorous, yeah. But a lot of people don't understand what it takes. And when I was doing the magazine, like, I mean, I pulled more all-nighters doing that, writing overnight, overnight, and editing than I ever did as a student. I don't think I ever did one all-nighter ever. I was like, I can't stay up late. And then it's amazing when the buck stops with you and it's like, you're like, my name is on this. Like I have to stay up. There is no, you know, and it's such a great thing to go through, you know, to give you strength and to give you perspective and grit. So yeah, I you're in the middle of it. And just know that when you come out and get a little bit of more of a high level of view, you'd be surprised what you didn't know you were building for your next chapter.
And now a word from our sponsors. Femme Forte is sponsored by Beam Music. Are you tired of making copies and printing your music? Beam is the app that will make you actually like distributing music. Organize with collections, create set lists, keep track of time, and share powerful annotations on your sheet music. You know that feeling when you call up a stand tune and everyone frantically looks for the music? Those days are over. Activate Live Mode to automatically connect everyone in the ensemble to your device. When you select a piece of music, everyone's individual parts for that song are instantly displayed on their personal device, all without the need for internet. Head to udb.live/beam to have your entire music library everywhere. Beam. It's the sheet. Stride TV is now available to download on the App Store. Watch exclusive videos like Femme Forte, Inside Drum Corps, Charity Chase, and so much more. Go to stridetv.com and use code FEMMEFORTE to get 50% off premium features like community chat, live Q&A with me, and behind-the-scenes content. Stride TV is home of the arts, a dedicated media platform for the arts community. Femme Forte is sponsored by Ultimate Drill Book. UDB app modernizes marching band. Spend less time, have more fun, and achieve at a higher level. Just upload your drill from Pyware into the UDB app and everyone in your band gets animations with your show music, precise pathways, synced music, notes, props, and so much more. It's just easier. Head to ultimatedrillbook.com and use code FEMMEFORTE when you order to get 20% off UDB app pro.
So you talked about like the journey of it not always being scripted and it being uncharted, and I totally 100% understand what you meant, because I talk about this a little bit on this podcast previously, but I was originally a music major, mm-hmm. and I actually changed majors into communications and media, technically, formally communications, but to pursuing the media path. And that was like a huge, scary risk for me, because all I ever knew was music. All I ever wanted to pursue in my life was to be the best, you know, drummer out there, jazz drum set performance major, and I just thought I could tour the world and do all these crazy things.
Awesome.
But then when I realized that I wanted to take a step back from being a performance major and going to something else, media happened to be like that other like hobby on the side that I knew that I could do really well. And then I found a lot of other avenues through that, through doing PR, through doing, you know, marketing, communications, and a lot of different things I could explore in that side. And so that was one of the scariest decisions I've ever made. But since making that decision, that has been the best decision that I've made in my life. And that, I think that, like, as women, like, I think taking risks in general, I think, and I don't know if my research is correct on this, but I generally think overall, women are less likely to take risks. Mm-hmm. And a lot of that comes with so many different factors that play into our lives. But I definitely know that some of those risks that I have taken have been one of the best decisions of my life and has helped me progress in my life further, whether it's from a personal relationship, whether it's from, you know, a career professional standpoint. And yeah, like I just really resonated with what you said there, just in the sense that like when I made that move to pursue media, or even when I made the decision to create this podcast, I was like, I have no idea what I'm doing. I am going to learn on the way and we're going to figure it out. And that also ties into entrepreneurship. Like mm-hmm. when I started my own photography, videography business and really decided to file it officially as an LLC, I knew nothing about like how to do enter sales tax or anything of like the actual business side of it and how to keep it a sustainable business. And I'm still learning to this day. I've taken a step back from it, mostly focusing on this podcast and my full-time job, but even to this day I'm constantly learning like legalities and just like business plan and which have helped me as an individual overall and has been marketable skills to take, you know, to my job or anywhere else I pursue. But it's been such a wild experience how when you take risks or when you think that, you know, plans aren't going to go the way that you want to, like how on the other side, like really is positive. And it's a very scary thing, but like in the end it all works itself out. Because for me, I am someone, and my parents know this, my family, my closest friends know this, I am someone who always wants to be 10 steps ahead. Mm. I am someone who always, like even when I was a freshman in college, I was also already looking at my degree plan and already knew the classes that I was going to take up until my senior year. Like I am that person and have always been that person of, oh, if I want to get this accomplished, I know all the steps that I have to do to get it. And I am the 5-year plan girl. Like I'm definitely that through and through. And I've learned that there is a balance where, yes, you do need to think a couple steps ahead to be prepared for, you know, other things that might come in your way, so you're not unprepared. But there definitely is a couple of those times, like this podcast, where I can just really just sit, live in the moment, and really enjoy what's unfolding. And that's one of the biggest life lessons that I've learned.
It's really good perspective, and it's important to kind of gain comfort in that space where you're a little bit uncomfortable because you have this sort of tension that lives inside of you from a creative standpoint of, yeah, like I want to start something because I want the end result of that thing. But there is a period of time that is uncomfortable where you're learning that thing and you're growing that thing. And I think when I first started blogging, I read this quote by Ira Glass, and I'm probably going to butcher it because it was many years ago that I wrote or, you know, shared it. But it's basically to the effect of, you get into what you do as an artist or as a creative person because you have good taste, but it takes you a very long time for your skill set to match your taste. And I would even say like that ekes into very much sort of the rest of my life, where I have a major interest in interior design. I have a huge interest in fashion design, all these things that never did I even think about when I was a young person or even entertain the thought of potentially I would take a class on this, you know, like that's all wasted on the young. I mean, literally, I didn't figure it out until the past couple of years. And my visions are so different than what is my reality. And I think that is huge when you're growing, and just kind of acknowledging that and accepting that. And, you know, especially have been kind of in the influencer space, just from the nature of digital content creation. And I find it very difficult because it's so materialism based and it's so consumer culture based. And so it's a balance of, how do I stick to my authentic feelings and my authentic point of view and not get distracted by everybody who's telling me to buy all the things all the time, you know, and how do I make my environment and my style, which is a true expression of who I am and what I value, it's difficult to not get muddied with what you're seeing everybody promoting. So it's just an interesting kind of concept that I think about a lot, and it relates to growth, because it's like, okay, listen, I know that I am, you know, the vision of my life that I have is a certain vision. I'm not going to get there. If I'm building it myself, it's going to be 10, 15, if I'm lucky, years before I achieve that. So how do you, this is where the happy, not satisfied conversation really comes into play. You know, not to plug, but not to plug.
You could plug it.
You know, this other podcast that, you know, my husband has a podcast, there may or may not be plans for me to join him more often on it. But this is sort of the mindset that we've adopted in our household of like, how, for somebody who is ambitious, for somebody who is growth oriented, how do you stay happy in the moment while you are working toward the part of never being satisfied, of like, I'm going to continue to grow. But there's joy to be found in that, just like what you said. How do I learn to exercise that? You are living in a moment that is really cool awareness, you know, because so often I think, and you'll probably in a couple of years look back on this and you'll be like, oh my God, that was magic. That was absolute magic. That time when I was creating, you know, my first season, my second season, when I was just bootstrapping it and doing it on my own. That was very special. And you'll wish that you could time capsule this energy, these feelings, everything's so new, because I wish the same for when I was creating, you know, that the Eleanor magazine issues for that year. It's kind of a sacred time for your personal growth. And so then, you know, life just gets more complicated as you move on with the years. And so it's good to be able to like try and have mindfulness and awareness of enjoying the moment as much as you can, while knowing and trusting yourself that everything that you are doing is setting you up for the next thing. And it doesn't always have to be the thing that's on the 5-year plan, right? Like keeping yourself open to, well, I thought that I was going to do this, but then I'm doing this, but this felt right in the moment. So am I diverting from this plan? But then ultimately what happens is, you know, now that I have like 12 years behind me of being in the working world, things that you thought were a weird move somehow end up completely being necessary in whatever you are doing, you know, yeah. Like in the, and it will be the same the next 10 years and the next 10 years and the next 10 years. So it's kind of this journey that just never ends of exploration and you know, finding joy throughout the process of like creating your own corner in the world. You know, that's I think that's kind of the game. It's like, how do you take up your own authentic space and contribute something to society by doing what makes you happy, whether that is in somebody else's organization or your own, you know? So that's kind of where I'm at right now with trying to keep a healthy mindset about where I have been and where I am going.
Yeah, I absolutely love what you said, because I am a true believer in that everything happens for a reason. I may not know what that reason is in the moment, but I know down the line I'll be like, oh, that's why I, you know.
The universe always has your back, girl.
Exactly. And so with that being said, and like you said, being, you know, finding the happiness and living in the moment and taking things day by day. You mentioned that with your son being born and everything, and now that he just turned one, you mentioned, correct?
Almost October. Yeah.
Yeah. How is that? I have so many questions like centered around that. Like, how have you been able to find that in your journey from being a performer to then figuring out, oh, like I could launch Eleanor, and now like, oh my gosh, all these things that have happened has prepared me to be a mom to Leo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is a really interesting, I'm so glad you asked this question. First of all, just calling it out 100%, you use your performance skills as a parent. If you have them, you are banging everything which way, you are giving jazz hands, you are, you know, like the hills are alive, like you're like playing whatever your child, just, you know, keep them entertained all day. But So aside from using performance skills literally to entertain my child, I think that becoming a parent and being a mother, speaking as a woman, was always an experience that I wanted to have. I was very lucky in that I come from a very matriarchal family. That is, we are Italian, so there's very much of like a, the matriarch is the family glue. if you've seen, you know, anything that, that in culture, any media that, that talks about our culture, it's very much that. And I had the most incredible grandmother, and her mother was amazing, and my mom is amazing, and I have all these aunts. And so I knew that, that I had that maternal instinct in me. But what I really knew is that I wasn't going to do it until I felt ready. I mean, hopefully. And in my career, I wanted to be at a point in my career where I felt like, okay, I've built enough. Now I can add this compartment to my life. And I think it's been first of all, it's been a very challenging year. I mean, the adjustment that you go through is like driving 100 miles an hour into a brick wall. I mean, it is, the velocity switch is insane. And then, so I feel like amongst, and that's not even counting the physical, right? Like all the physical things that you're going through, your body is going through a big thing and a lot of changes. And so that comes with hormonal changes, that comes with brain changes, that comes with, it's a lot. It's a lot to have come at you in 1 year. And like, I'm not even talking about pregnancy. I'm talking about once he was here, you know?
Yeah.
And I was very lucky to have a pregnancy that did not make me feel ill. And I was just like kind of my best self during my pregnancy. I was like, wow, everything's great. I was very calm. Like my husband will tell you, my family will tell you, like, who are you? I was like the best, happiest, floatiest version of myself during my pregnancy. So then it's just been giving myself grace to acknowledge like, okay, this is a massive shift, but it's frustrating because if you are somebody who is growth oriented and you have a growth mindset, you can feel, it can feel at times like, what has happened to my life? You know, like what has happened to me? I have lost all my momentum. And you are, of course, doing the most important job you've ever done when that is your priority. But it can feel like not a distraction, but it can feel like you've been derailed. And that can be scary. And I think the other thing too, that I am just now coming into awareness about and I'm coming out of, is that my sort of hormonal readjustment didn't start to come back until like, I would say 4.5-5 months postpartum.
Yeah.
And so I did not have any of that crazy, like drop in mood, whatever, immediately.
Yeah.
And a lot of women, I think, experience that. Otherwise at your doctor checkup, they wouldn't be asking you those questions. And so I was like, but I seem fine, you know? And then all of a sudden it started to present itself in interesting ways. And I was like, it was all about my career and it was all about my identity as mother, I feel, is separate from my identity as me almost. And it's all, of course, it's all within and it's a part of me that I wanted, but it is a part of me. And I'm kind of in this season now where I am trying to fight for creating what that all looks like and how I can support all the different areas in my life. As you know, motherhood is just, I love every second of it. You know, it's incredibly rewarding and wonderful, but how do I still sustain myself as a professional? And how do I continue to work toward my goals as, you know, a media maker, an editor, a storyteller? And how do we then build out a family dynamic that can support not only my needs, but also my husband's needs and our son's needs, you know? It's just a lot of complex and nuanced emotions and communications that you have to have with your partner during this time. And so I think the performing arts part of it is that when you are, this is kind of an interesting connection and I'm going to go there, but when you are performing, at least when I am performing, you're in that flow, right? You're connected to the source, we'll call it.
Yeah.
And so much of life, real life, adulting life, does not give you that. And so I think like when you are out of alignment with that, your soul screams at you. And that is, I think, something that as a creative person, I work to constantly stay as connected to that feeling as I can, because that is your intuitive voice that will guide you through these sort of life events. And so throughout kind of adjusting to motherhood, there have been these moments where I've kind of been waking up and in one layer and the next layer. It doesn't all happen at the same time, but you kind of have these like these breaths, like you're coming back from like Snow White when she gets kissed by the prince,
yeah.
You know, and you're like, I need to do that, or I need to pursue that, you know, and it's sort of one leads to another, but it's like listening to that voice that you are your own person and you have your own needs. And as somebody who gets energy from creating, you have to listen to that and you have to let it guide you. And it's not something to be ashamed of. You know, it is like survival. Listening, being able to listen to that voice and execute on what it's telling you to do is, for me, survival. And that ends up allowing you to thrive. But I think if you don't have an awareness and a connection to being able to listen to what that is, and especially as women, we have this voice. We have this powerful, intuitive mother nature guide, you know? And this is what I love about Beyonce, is that when she, that performance that she, where she had, like when she became a mother and she had the flower crowns and all yep. the things and the generations, like that is real. And when you bring life into the world, you're like, oh wow, Beyonce was right. You know, like you're like, surely it doesn't feel that crazy. It does. And so I think just like, standing in that, and the other thing I will say too is I have never felt stronger and I have never felt more powerful. Yes, did I crumble like the past 10 months and I've been like, who am I? Yes, you know, like there are times when yes, but coming out on the other side and making that choice to fight and stand for the ability to continue to grow in the way that I'd like to, I have overcome so many fears, because carrying a child and birthing a child and raising a child, it's challenging. Like, yeah. It's very challenging. And when you do difficult things in life, you gain confidence, right? Mm-hmm. So like, it's given perspective, just like this for you is a baby, you know,
yeah.
Like per se, it's not like a human baby, but yeah. It is a huge passion project and you have brought it into the world. And I remember feeling that, you know, when I was in your shoes, and it's very difficult. And so you will gain confidence through the challenge and like walking through the fire at times, you know? So that's what I feel. I think that like that creative energy is very important, because it always guides you, whatever the medium may be, you know, when you are exposed to that and when you feel that for the first time as a young person, keep chasing it. It might not be the original outlet, but it can be applied and can guide you to throughout the rest of your life to whatever it is that you're doing.
Yeah. No, that was beautifully said. I mean, just thinking about everything that you said, the first couple of things that kind of come to mind about that is how you said earlier about people don't know, like, you know, behind closed doors or like on the back end, how much hard work goes into this podcast or even goes into, you know, like, you know, raising your son and even the content creation that you do for your platform. And I think there are definitely times where I think we've all kind of been there where, you know, I'll be honest, I've had mental breakdowns about this podcast before because of all of the hard work that goes into it. And you're just, sometimes you do get those like hard moments of like, why do I keep doing this? Or why, you know, why am I staying up or pulling all nighters, you know, doing X, Y, and Z? And then really being able to come out of it on the other side and just like you said, look back and like just prioritize a special moment where you're putting all the grit in, because on the other side, you know, a couple years, I'm going to be like, yeah, I was really proud of that.
Mm-hmm.
So I absolutely that was very, very beautifully said. And thank you for that reminder, because that really does like mean a lot to me, and something that I know in myself that I have to remind myself a little bit more every day.
You're welcome.
Well, we're about to wrap up here, but I have two last questions for you.
Okay.
The first one is being, knowing the knowledge that you have now, what advice would you have given yourself, even as, you know, a performer, or even as you starting Eleonora for the first time, just overall thinking about you, your career? You can go into many different avenues with this question, but just having the life experience, let's call it, that you have now, what is something you would have advice you would have told yourself?
One we already talked about, which is that growth is messy. The other, I think, would just be when I was in my earlier jobs, you know, I felt a lot like a square peg in a round hole. And it bothered me. And I knew that something was not in alignment. But I think that is all important. And it is good for you to feel that tension, because it guides you to discover who you really are. And that discomfort and that tension kind of makes you desperate enough to do something about it. And I used to feel like, why am I the one that just doesn't fit in? Like, I'm trying so hard in various work environments. And then it became so loud that I couldn't ignore it anymore, you know? And now I think what's really beautiful that has happened, and I wish I heard more women talk about this, I was always made to feel like too much, you know, like I was too much when I was young. And now that I have had more life experience and I have gained grit in a way that I never had it. I always was disciplined, but like when you are putting something out, it is next level what you have to do. And you're not going to expire from a couple nights of sleep deprivation, you know? So when you learn to push yourself and you earn the respect and the recognition that you get, there's just a different perspective. And I think now, you know, building my own thing, I think opened me up to going back into that structured environment, but in a way that people see me and know me and my skill sets for what they are, truly what they are. And they would not want me to compromise that anymore, because your magic is your magic, but you have to work to uncover it and get yourself those skills. You know, what is it? The 10,000 hours rule.
Yeah.
Got to put in the 10,000 hours. You can't just like walk into somewhere and be like, I'm a special unicorn, you know. Fine, everyone thinks that when they're 22, but like I had to really fall from that and then build myself up from absolutely nothing when I was about 26. And because I did that, I now have the confidence to, and not false confidence, the true confidence, the type where you don't have to say anything about yourself, to just be able to walk in and offer your services and offer anything that you may have experience-wise to help an organization move forward. I think just now I feel really ready to do that again. But my office, if I end up in a corporate environment, let's say, my office is going to have mood boards all over the wall. And it's going to have pink chairs, and it's going to have antique lamps, and it's going to have antique art. You know, just because you are in one environment doesn't mean that you can't bring yourself, your true self, to that environment. In fact, quite the opposite. If you don't bring yourself, your true best self, to that environment, then you're doing a disservice to that organization. And so I think I'm just coming around to realizing that. And it took many years of feeling very discouraged and like, why me? Why am I not working? What is something I'm trying and I'm not working? Well, it's because I didn't know who I was and I didn't have the skill set to back that up to then feel confident to go in somewhere and be like, yeah, I'm going to give my 100% in a way that doesn't make my soul feel twisted in knots. And there's something very powerful about that. When you find an environment or a medium or a project that you just feel, you don't feel tangled, that's pretty amazing. And you have to pay attention to that, because there is so much, like in my beginning of my career, I was just always in knots. I was like, this is not right, you know, but it's all important. You have to live through it all. So I look forward to seeing kind of what this next chapter has in store, because I finally feel like I'm in a place where I don't have to, like, my work can speak for itself.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. And so talking to my younger self, that's what I would say, is that just keep following the path and working really hard, because it will all work itself out in due time. And not to be cliche or trite, but like, it's been true, you know, in my life. And I'm sure there will be a next chapter and a next chapter and a next chapter. But that's the biggest advice, aside from the growth is messy, that I would give.
Yeah. And then a great follow up to that is the last question I have for you is, who are you now and what experiences do you want to create?
That's a good one. Who am I now? Well, mother, first and foremost. That's a new title added to the list, and a forever title added to the list. I think I'm a storyteller, and I always will be. It just depends on the medium. You know, the medium will be interesting. I think currently it's digital, it's content, it's, you know, being an editor, being a producer of sorts. The experiences that I want to create are truly experiences that are so, I'm going to try and word this carefully. Oftentimes as women, when you meet with other women in life, we are conditioned to speak surface level. And I have no interest in that. You know, of course, I'll be like, girl, love your outfit, but you know, whatever. That's of course.
Yeah.
But I like to have fierce conversations. And I think especially during the pandemic, I realized that I had been so straight away. I had shied away from having fierce conversations because we had that great awakening, you know, in 2020. And I realized that, wow, I didn't understand everybody's perspectives. And so I just chose to kind of be quiet and say nothing for a while.
Yeah.
Just because I needed to like learn. And I think now I, you know, coming and choosing to come back to San Antonio from LA, because we were in LA for a couple of years, choosing come back to San Antonio, it's an exciting thing because you can always build what you want in San Antonio. But I think what I'm wanting now is to create experiences for other women where they feel like all parts of their experience are validated and we can have conversations like this and get down to the nitty gritty, you know, and, to quote Nacho Libre, but you might be too young for that, and talk about the complexity of what we go through. And that some days we might feel like, oh my God, I'm so happy. This being a mother is the best thing in the world. And then other days we're like, I don't know how to get everything done. How do I walk into my boss and say, you know, this is why I need a raise. This is why anything in any realm. But also to be able to have these philosophical, more esoteric conversations and not have any shame associated with it. And women who I've talked to lately, like I'm gathering that this thing we were talking about earlier is like, I sense fear in admitting vulnerability and admitting that perhaps a step taken to create an appearance of having it all together or appearance of a milestone being achieved, that can be very damaging if you are living with an external shell and you haven't achieved those things or strived for those things underneath because you're not giving yourself permission to go through the messiness of that.
Absolutely.
And I think our tendency now in our culture to be so packaged is detrimental to growth in that way. And if I would love to have more conversations like this one, and to just have really beautiful spaces in San Antonio where like women just show up and, you know, it's not necessarily about drinking wine. It's about like, here's some espresso, let's get into it. You know, like how do we make the city better? How do we make our families better? How do we make ourselves better? That's something I've been talking about with my best friend, to be honest, because she owns restaurants and, you know, how do we create these experiences for other women? And then, you know, maybe men too. Maybe it's just like a big think tank.
Yeah.
But that's, I think, what's on my heart right now is fierce conversations and a forum for fierce conversations.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of the reason why this podcast exists, specifically, you know, for having real conversations with awesome, amazing women like yourself, to, you know, go out into the world and to start, one, becoming these like really vulnerable conversations for it to be less taboo. Mm-hmm. Right. And then two, just like people need to hear this. A lot of it too is like from an awareness perspective. When I did my first live tape, one of my live tapings in Westchester, a couple of students came up to me, specifically, men who were like, yeah, I didn't know that this existed, and like I appreciate you, like, you know, having the conversation today, and like now I know. And
it's powerful.
Like it's so awesome to see. Well, thank you so much for being on the show. Where can our viewers and listeners find you? Do you want to plug your website, podcast, social media, etc.,
all the things? Sure. Well, you can find me just first and foremost at Eleanora Morrison on Instagram. So that's my full name, Eleanora Morrison. And then you can find all the things there. But yeah, you can also, Eleanora.co is my editorial platform website. And then I have an EleanoraMorrison.com, which is more of my creative portfolio website. But you can find all the things on Instagram.
Awesome. Well, thank you once again for being on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for listening to Femme Forte. Femme Forte is produced and hosted by me, Amanda DeFries. Music is by Humans Win. To learn more about our guests, sponsors, and get more resources, go to FemmeFortePodcast.com and follow us on social media at FemmeFortePodcast.